If you're of the younger set, you're willing to be dismissed and are willing to be dismissed, you can go right now. And the rest of us are going to stick around here for some time in God's Word. Hope you've got a Bible or can pick one out from in front of you there. Or maybe some of you got these iPod or something. You're going to connect to Titus, small book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and keep going. You'll hit Titus chapter 1. Can you find that? It has been 3 Sundays since I was able to open the Word of God with you, preaching. We had a wedding 3 weeks ago. We had a wedding 2 weeks ago. We had a vacation in the middle of all of that. And last week at a missionary. So I'm feeling a little rusty. So if you allow me to kind of just get back in the groove here this morning, I'll do my best. Titus is where I hope you'll turn to. Why the book of Titus, you say? Well, because it's a book. And I'm going to tell you a secret about me. I tend to want to preach on topics. If you were here back in 2007, do you remember the topic we spoke on for the whole year? Do you remember what that was? It was grace. I love grace. But we're going to be looking at this book, Titus, because it's dangerous when a pastor just preaches what he wants to talk about. Did you know that? Did you ever think about that? I hope you trust me, but don't. Trust God's word more than me. Is that your thought pattern? I want to hear God's word, not Pastor DePue's word. I hope that's your thought pattern. And so we're going to be looking at Titus because it's a book. We're going to look at Titus because it's in the New Testament. And you notice that, right? It's not in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. We're the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We're the church. And as much as we appreciate Israel and we support them as a nation and God's got a plan for them, the New Testament is primarily for his body, the believers of those who follow Jesus Christ. So that's why we're going to be in Titus. And yeah, in Titus, there's a lot of really good topics, which is exciting to me because I like topics. Chapter 1, we're going to see as we go through this book together, is church leadership and some qualifications there. Chapter 1 has got some rich information on all of that. Chapter 2, I'm really looking forward to chapter 2 when we get there. It talks about multi-generational Christian living. And one of the, I think, the strengths of People's Baptist Church is that there's a lot of different ages here. And we've got a lot to learn from each other, older and new. Titus warns here, he says, watch out for arguments that are over genealogies. In other words, I'm this old, or I'm that old, or I'm this young, or I'm this young. And so Titus gives in chapter 2 some very good teaching about how younger and older are to get along together and to grow together in the Word of God. Chapter 3, we're going to look at down the road, living a civil life in an uncivil society, as how I call that. And there's a lot of other good topics that we're going to see there. Another reason why we're going to be in Titus is because Titus uses some really good words, some very rich words that define and describe and nourish our relationship with the God of heaven. In fact, right here in chapter 1, have you got it open there? Look at verse number 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect. There's a word there, faith, that you could just park on for a long time. The Bible says the just, those who are saved, live by faith. It's the air we breathe, so to speak. The in and out of our relationship. Faith is mentioned many times in this book. Keep going. That word elect causes all kinds of discussion doctrinally, but it's a rich word that God, in his sovereignty and in his wisdom and in his foreknowledge, chooses people to be part of his family. He doesn't choose people to go to hell. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, but praise God, he works in people's lives. Verse number 2, not only are we having faith, but verse 2, we are living in hope of eternal life. Isn't that a great phrase there, eternal life? Some of you are going to celebrate birthdays coming up here, and life goes on apace, doesn't it? Day after day, year after year. Have you ever thought about life that's eternal? Well, God offers it. It's a gift of God through Jesus Christ, and we're going to see that in this book. Verse 4, the Titus, a true son of, in our common faith, grace. What a word. Mercy, peace, words that are just rich. And so why the book of Titus? Because it's full of things that are just so, so rich. Where does the book of Titus fit into the whole picture of God's word? Well, you saw it. It's in the New Testament. There's 27 books in the New Testament. And here it is, kind of smack dab in the middle of that order of things. It's one of 14 letters that Paul wrote, the book of Titus is. That is, if you count Hebrews as from Paul, and you'll have to figure that out yourself. And it's one of four. Titus is one of four letters that he wrote to individuals rather than to a church. And so this letter here was really written to one person who, by the way, was working with a church. So there's a lot of stuff that we'll get for ourselves rather than just individuals. It's kind of a condensed Reader's Digest version, Titus is, of the book of 1 Timothy. And so I chose Titus because Timothy's got 6 chapters and Titus has got 3. And we're gonna kind of go to the condensed version, if you will, here in Titus. And so who is Titus? Who is this individual that Paul is writing to? Well, look back, if you'll hold your hand there, and look back to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 6. There's not a lot written about Titus, even though there was a book written to him. But we get this little snippet of a picture of Titus's character. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 6. Paul is writing here and he says, "Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast." Have you ever thought of the Apostle Paul as getting discouraged? He did. Who could God use to encourage Paul? Titus, keep going. "Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us," or encouraged us, "by the coming of Titus." Do you like being around encouraging people? I sure do. Titus is one of those people who just had a way of lifting up, building up, encouraging people, even Paul. Look down to verse number 13 still, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13. He says, Yeah, 7 verse 13. "Therefore, we have been comforted by your comfort," Paul writes, "and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all." Titus was not only an encourager, but he was a joyful person. I like being around joyful people. There's enough Eeyores in life, you know, who have a cloud over their head, it seems like, and it just rain on every parade they enter, it seems like. Apparently, Titus wasn't that way. Encourager, a joyful man. And look at chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, while you're right there, all right? And verse number 23. One last little snippet of Titus. Paul says, "If anyone inquires about Titus," and I'm saying, okay, that's me. I want to know about him. "If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and my fellow worker with you." Those are good words describing Titus. He's the kind of guy that was a team player. He was a partner. He got involved. He connected with the plan that was going on. And keep going. And he's a fellow worker. He didn't just show up. He worked. I've been around people that love to be around work. Have you been around somebody like that? When there's work, they're there. They like to be around it. But man, when you try to get them involved, it's like pulling teeth. Well, Titus is a partner, it says there, and he's a fellow worker around you. So he's the kind of guy that rolled up his sleeves, Titus did, and kind of dove in. And that's good. Back to Titus. You got it flipped back to the little book of Titus. Look at verse number 5. "For this reason," Paul writes, I'm in Titus 1, verse 5, "for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that were lacking." In other words, Titus was the kind of guy, apparently, that Paul could trust with the little baby church. He said, "I left you there in a hard spot to finish, to wrap up, to set in order, even," keep going there, verse 5, "to appoint elders in every city." That's a big task, to choose leadership. So I've learned a little bit about Titus. By the way, Titus was not a Jewish person. He was Greek. He was a Gentile. And so he could understand, maybe identify with the Acts 17 world that we're going to talk about tonight, where the cross was foolishness to people. Titus had come out of a Greek or a Gentile background, and so I think his role here in the island of Crete, it's 130-some miles long. At its widest point, Crete, which is where Titus is serving, is about 26 miles across. So it was a self-contained society of people who, well, we're going to learn a little bit about them. They kind of inbred in their theology and in their thinking, and they were a challenge, a handful. And Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, Titus, I'm going to leave you there to help wrap things up. So let's look at these verses, the first four of them this morning. I'm going to read them out loud. Would you listen as we hear them? Paul, he's the one writing, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. He keeps going, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me, Paul says, according to the commandment of God our Savior. I, Paul, write, verse 4, to you, Titus, a true son in our common faith. Titus, may you have grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. That's one sentence. Do you talk that way? I don't tend to talk in that way. We English people tend to talk in little sound bites. Well, Paul here just is overflowing in his starting of this address to Titus with these words. Let me pray and then let's look at him. Lord in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Paul, the apostle. Thank you for Titus, a man who he trusted and who we can learn about and learn from. Lord, open your word by your Spirit. Make us hungry to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, a bondservant. That's the word he used to describe himself. If you had to fill out your resume, what would it say on the first line? Would it talk about Paul? Would it talk about you and all of your academic and your athletic qualifications and your portfolio? Well, when Paul is talking in a personal way to Titus, he says, the first thing I want you to remember about me, Titus, is that I'm just a servant. I'm just a simple slave, as it were, of God. I don't have my own plan, so to speak. I don't have my own will. I don't have my own agenda, because that's what a servant is about, right? They are answering to another master. They have got other orders being followed. Paul, he says, I'm a bondservant of God. And, by the way, keep going there, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I like that about Paul. He's a humble man. He puts servant in front of apostle. I think if I were in my flesh, I would say, hey, Titus, just want to remind you that I'm one of the apostles. And, oh, yeah, I serve the Lord too. Not so with this humble missionary, giant of the faith, Paul. Paul says, I'm a bondservant. I'm humble first. I've got one boss. Servants in the day of Paul were low on the economic level, just like they are in our mindset today, right? In fact, if you look over to chapter 3, Titus is going to address some other servants. We would probably call them employees in our culture today. He says, verse number 9, exhort bondservants to obey their own masters. You see that? Titus chapter 3, verse 9. So one thing we know about Paul, he's got a master. And he's named there God himself. And he's an apostle. Small a, you know, small case a. Apostle just means one who's been sent with a message. You know, yesterday we had a bunch of apostles running around here. Mrs. Cody was the master. She was cracking the whip over the whole fair project there. And the rest of us were apostles. She'd say, go over there and get this. We'd go over there and get that. That's a good thing to have a leader and some followers. In fact, it doesn't go very well when you got all leaders, right? And so Paul says, I want you to know I'm just one of those guys that the master is sending to do this and that and this and that for the cause of the kingdom. I'm a small a apostle, a sent one. I've got a message. But Paul was also a large a apostle. You know what made the difference between a small a and a large a apostle? A large a apostle had seen Jesus after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Paul had that on his credential list. He said he was born out of time. It seems like he had been born at the wrong time, but he had been privileged to witness the risen Savior, to hear his voice. Do you remember when he heard his voice? On the road to Damascus. Saul breathing out threatenings. He got stopped in his tracks, and he heard and saw on the right hand of the Father, Jesus himself. And so Paul was an apostle, a servant and apostle, it says there in verse 1, a large A apostle. He had been commissioned. He says, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Faith is such a rich word, as we've said. And trusting in God involves, according to this verse right here, God's work as well as our discernment, our work. God works behind the scenes. Folks, I can't figure all out all this doctrine, all the truth of election. The word simply means that God chooses. God chooses. I can't figure it all out. Frankly, that's God's work. I can't look around at you, at your face, at your forehead, and see a little mark that says, oh, there's one that's elected that God chose. There's one that God chose. That's not my job at all. But we cannot deny that the Bible says that God is involved in our salvation, not just in providing it, but planning it as well. And so Paul, a bondservant, an apostle, according to the faith of God's elect, Paul was very concerned, apparently, that he be involved in this massive work of God of bringing people to faith in the Savior. Look, if you will, back one book in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look what Paul, his heart for those who were chosen by God. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember I said that Timothy was kind of an expanded version of Titus. He said this, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. Paul paid a price for the gospel, but the word of God is not chained. He's an optimist. I love that. Look in this, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so Paul is very involved and very sacrificial when it came to those who God was working in, God's choosing. You know what? People who take the doctrine of election to an unbiblical extreme come to this conclusion. Well, if God chose him and he's doing all the work, I'm just going to sit back and let him handle it. That's not biblical doctrine. That's unbiblical thinking. Apostle Paul here says, I'm in chains. I'm willing to do what it takes, even to the point of being imprisoned, to be a part of what God is doing in the cause of the elect. So when Paul thought of election, he didn't see it as a way out of me not having any responsibilities. He saw it as a tremendous privilege to be a part of what God's doing. And frankly, that's where I stand on that doctrine that can be so divisive of election. I don't know who God is choosing. I know this. I am called to, like Paul, to do what it takes to be a part of God's plan in reaching people with the gospel. So back to Titus chapter 2. Paul, a bondservant according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth. I'm back to verse number 1, which accords with godliness. You see, it's a wonderful thing that God is electing, as it says there, but it's a responsibility that you and I have to acknowledge the truth. And so Paul, as the apostle, is just speaking the truth that Jesus Christ came, died, was buried, and rose again, and has a call on your life, an invitation to your heart. And Paul says, I am all about that, but you've got to acknowledge the truth. Let's just step back and just marvel again at what God allowed us to do yesterday as a church. We were out there and there was hundreds of people there, and some of us had the opportunity to speak some things about Jesus Christ. Lynn did a phenomenal job of just reminding people of how God can take a broken life and give hope and joy when it was missing, and eternity in heaven to boot. You know what? those of us who share the gospel could go home and just be ripped to shreds. You know what? Nobody talked to me after that. Nobody came up and said, what must I do to be saved? You know, don't you wish some people would just come up and say those words to you? We could get all bent out of shape. You know what? When I go home at night, I can rest on my bed, and you can rest on your bed as a follower of Jesus Christ if you've just shared the truth. Some of you shared the truth verbally. Some of you shared the truth by your living example. Some of you used your tools of cooking and of moving things and of whatever. And God weaves that all together, and there's the truth. Lynn Boyle spent how many countless hours painting that Evangel cube? Lynn, are you here today? Did I see you? She's in the back there. And I suspect she got tired of being Michelangelo at People's Baptist Church and painting all that stuff. And yet there, that's one of multiple times where that truth of a crucified, risen, and coming again Savior was presented in living color. Isn't it amazing that God is doing his work, and yet we're called to do our work, and people have just got to acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge the truth that it says there. Paul, I do this that they may acknowledge the truth which accords with godliness. In hope of eternal life. Verse number 2, in hope of eternal life. Oh, what a glory heaven promises for us. Unending life. I'm getting tired of growing old. Are you getting tired of growing old? The aches and pains that come, the stuff that you have to add to your appendage just to see and hear, all the stuff that comes with a sin-cursed world and a sin-cursed body that's headed in the direction of eternity. What a wonderful thing. And Paul says, I'm a bondservant of God who offers, verse number 2, hope beyond the grave, eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. This God has a plan for you and for me, and it's resting in, and it's surrounded by hope, a long-term trustworthy promise from a long-term trustworthy God. Really, we could see here Paul kind of laying out some of his plan for Titus. He says, Titus, he's writing to him, I'm Paul. I'm a bondservant of God according to the faith. We could say Paul's all about evangelism. He's all about helping people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you wanted to make a note in your Bible, you could put right by that word faith, evangelism, to the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Godliness is the word for being like God, to be holy. It's taking a person who's been born into the family of God, evangelism, and helping them to put off the old and put on the new. That's really edification. I think Paul is saying, Titus, I want you to know I'm about faith, evangelism. I'm about helping people acknowledge godliness and grow in it. That's edification. And it's verse 2, in hope of eternal life. That's glorification. In other words, Paul says, I'm all about evangelism, edifying and encouraging people to endure for all eternity. That's a pretty good, simple little life purpose statement. And some of us are better at parts of it than others. Some of you here are very good at evangelizing, at helping people see their need of the Savior. Others, and I would include myself in this group, feel more confident, at least, in helping those who are already born again to grow in godliness. Are you a part of that group? You take what God has done, saving a person, and by the Spirit of God, help them to acknowledge godliness and truth. All of us, I hope, are excited about eternity. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, has promised us. But, verse number 3, has in due time manifested his word through preaching. Paul had a master up in verse number 1. He was a bondservant. He's got a, if you will, I'm going to just kind of summarize it here. He's got a mission. He's an apostle. He's sent with a message of evangelizing and edifying and encouraging. And he's got a message. It's God's promises that are from a God that cannot lie, verse number 2. And he's got a means, verse number 3. It's preaching. God has in due time manifested his word through preaching. You say, Pastor, go for it. That's your job. You just preach. wait a minute. Keep your hand in Titus. Look back to Mark chapter 16 if you want to, or just listen. Because if your tendency is to say, oh, I'm not a preacher, well, listen what the gospel says. Mark chapter 16, and I think it's verse number 15. These is Jesus' words to you and me. He said to them, go into all the world and, what's the next word? Preach the gospel to every creature. Well, the good news is you're a preacher. You may not have gone to Bible college. You know what? Not everybody can. You may not have had seminary training. You know what? Not everybody does. But if you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've learned what it is to grow in godliness, and if you've got a hope, as it says back in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, of eternal life, you got something you can tell. You got something you can say, you can preach. Paul says, in due time, in other words, at just the right time, God gave me the ability and the opportunity to talk. I want to stop right there and I just want to challenge you, each one of us. You say, I'm not a good talker. I understand. God understands. But don't take a sense of what you can't do to keep you from what you need to do. It's a wonderful thing to live in such a way that people see a difference in your life. In fact, if you're not living in such a way that people see a difference in your life, you probably don't have much to talk about. But don't just live in living. The means that God uses to reach people is the truth of God communicated. It may be in a written tract form. It may be just in a conversation with a person who you know needs the Savior. Let me make it very, very practical and personal to you. Mike Smith prayed, and thank you, Mike, for praying, that God would help us to get ready for the fall and the kind of ministries that start up in this season of our church. You know, Release Time, Awana, Pursue, Patch Club are some of the ones that come to my mind right now. And some of you are saying, I don't have to go to the meeting tomorrow night for Awana because I'm not a leader. Well, understood. But there's going to be some children, some people that God's going to send your way. And according to verse number 3, in due time, in other words, at just the right juncture of an appointment, he gives you and me the opportunity to say something to them. If you're a game leader, be the best game leader you can be. If you're a snack provider, provide the best snacks you can, preferably peach pie, strawberry rhubarb pie. Well, you can pick out the snack you want. Chocolate fits in there, I'm sure, as well. But be the best you can be in what you do. But look for the opportunity to speak to somebody. To speak what? Well, look at verse 3. In due time, manifesting his word through preaching. The message has always got to be what God has said from the Bible. And some of us have got a ready-made platform in Awana. I mean, we got these kids coming in with their books and these memory verses. Boom, right there in front of you in black and white. You got a chance just to say, look at what that verse says, dear rambunctious ADHD kid, you know. Slow down a little bit. Did you see what God's Son does for people like you and me? So the method, the means, if you will, that Paul is recommending and is modeling to Titus is, I in due season have been given the privilege to do what every single other Christian needs to do, just to preach the word of God, which was committed to me according to the command of God our Savior. And then verse number 4, to Titus. Paul not only has his own master, right, verse 1, he's a bondservant, he's got a mission. He's an apostle sent by that master. He's got a message, according to verse number 2 there, the promises of God in the Bible. He's got a means. He preaches, according to verse number 3 there. But it boiled down to this. And it boils down to this for you and me too. Paul had and I'm going to use it because it starts with M, a man. He had an individual. He had a real life person that he was investing in. If I were to go down the aisles here today and just look you in the eye and talk with you and ask you this question, how would you answer? Who is it that God has placed in your world that you are investing in, that you're writing letters to, like Paul did to Titus. Maybe today it would be in the form of a text or an email or an old-fashioned letter. Who is it that you are investing in? Whose life are you impacting with the gospel? Titus is Paul's man, so to speak. This is where it goes from the theory to the real life. When you and I get involved in the lives of people, one of the frustrations of being a pastor up here, can I just say it? Is that you're all out there. And there are some benefits. You usually don't answer back. You don't talk back to me. So I kind of a one-way street here, and I can just say what I want to say, and you don't have much of an opportunity. That has its downsides, though, too. I like to be with people for the most part. I mean, you need vacations. But Paul and you and I are called to have a man, to have somebody that we're investing in. Moms and dads, let's make sure it involves our own children. You say, I've lost my children. They don't listen to me anymore. I understand familiarity can breed some contempt or some closeness. But you know what? I think our children listen more than we think. Grandpa and Grandma, you've got some men and women in your life, right? Don't let the years go by with just spoiling them with little gifts and trinkets. You know, look for opportunities to speak into their world the truth, the message of the gospel, right? And beyond, godliness. And I know many of you do that. Keep it up. God will bless that. God will bless that. Here's the point. Do you have a man? When you're involved in pursue, and you get alone in game time, and one of those kids are sitting on the sideline and they aren't participating, what do you do? My tendency would be to go over there and kick them, you know, get out there and play volleyball or dodgeball or whatever it is. Come on, get involved. But maybe you need just to take that opportunity to go and sit down by them and say, hey, how you doing? And get to know them. Why? So that you can share the gospel, right? We've all got opportunities if we'll take them. To Titus, we're closing with verse number 4, a true son. All the benefits that Titus, just in this simple verse, what he has. First of all, he's a son of God, right? He's a true son in our common faith. Paul, who's an apostle, capital A, says, you know what? There's nothing difference between you and me, really. We're still same part of the same family, common faith. He says grace there. I love that word, grace. Did it happen to you yesterday if you were at the fair, as it happened to some of us? Did anybody come up to you and say, can I give a donation for this fair? How many had somebody come up to you and say, I'd like to give a donation? Anybody? A few of you did. What did you say? No, never mind. We'll assume the best. Why do we have a fair with no charge? Because of grace. The Church of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ, have a bad rap that they're after people's money. In some ways, the church has earned that bad rap because of some of the big wigs that seem to always talk about getting money. So here at People's Baptist Church, and I'm kind of excited about this heritage that is here, we've worked very hard to make things free as best as we can. Because there's something in the heart of an unbeliever that wants to buy their way into God's favor. Isn't that true? We want to work. We want to be able to stand beside God and say, God, you and I did a good job, didn't we? You know, you died on the cross and I did my part. And when I got to heaven, my good works outweighed my bad. I'm so glad to be in heaven with you, God. You know, we're just buddies. We're just equals. But when you have grace, grace puts me and you and every sinner in the position of having to receive something that's free, that I can't pay for, that I can't earn. And so Paul says to Titus, a true son in our common faith, characterized by grace. I want to encourage you, don't let people buy their way into the favor with God, because it doesn't work. You say, well, that's making somebody feel uncomfortable. I understand. Stand and, you know, if somebody slips me a $5 bill, you know what I do? I just take it and I put it in the offering box back there. But if I get a chance, I tell them why we do it for free. It's because of grace. while we were yet sinners, with nothing to pay for our sin except for our own death, Christ died on the cross for us. Grace. Oh, Titus, a true son of the common faith, with grace, number two, with mercy. In other words, this God of ours doesn't give us what we do deserve. Grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy, he protects us from what we do deserve. And what's that? Punishment. In a word, condemnation. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And peace. Do you like that word? Peace. I like that word. It reminds me that not only have we been protected from the lightning bolt of God's justice, we who are rebels and deserve the attack of God against us as sinners, we have peace now with him. We've been reconciled to God. We are now heirs and joint heirs. It's not only that big peace, but it's the little peace that Lynn talked about yesterday in her testimony, that when all of life is crushing and crumbled and the choices that we've made have come home to roost, we can have forgiveness and a heart that's at peace with God at least, even though others may not yet be at peace with us. To Titus, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's where all of this comes from. And so I think here at these first four verses, we see Paul, he's got a master. Do you? Are you a bondservant? Are you letting God call the shots in your life? Paul's got a master. He's got a mission. He's an apostle. He's sent with something. And what is he sent with? Evangelism, edifying and encouraging people until glory comes. He's got a message. It says there, God's promises from a God who can't lie. He's got a means. He preaches. He speaks. He proclaims the truth that people must know and hear. And he's got a man, Titus. And we're going to learn more about what that man is going to do in this little island called Crete with a bunch of misfit people that needed a Savior. Kind of sounds like Newfield. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, for the men of God like Paul and Titus, for those who have put the pen to page and given us copies of God's Word. Thank you that we can learn of you and trust you. Thank you that somewhere along the line, grace, mercy, and peace have been made available to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help us to be loving you and learning of you and reflecting you and sharing you every chance we get. Lord, I pray that if there's some here who are still servants of sin, that you would show that taskmaster to be who he is, Satan himself, with the end result, the wages of that sin, the Bible says, is death in hell, away from you. Thank you that we've been given the opportunity to respond. Here in America, so many opportunities to hear of Jesus Christ, not like a swear word, but as the Son of God who died, was buried for sinners, and rose again and offers life. Thank you that we can have a new master. Help us to be serving him well today. Dismiss us now to some food down in the gym for those who can stay and some fellowship. Give us a man, so to speak, this week and this month that we can share Jesus Christ and the godliness that he provides in an effective way. We look forward to tonight and the Lord's Supper and the chance to just remember again all that you did for us. Dismiss us now with your grace and mercy and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.